Well, good morning, Northern Hills. It is great to be with you. We want to welcome those of you that are joining us online. If you are joining us online on Sunday, March 14th, and you're here in the state of Colorado, chances are there's a little bit of snow on the ground. And we're thrilled that you're taking time to join us. Hopefully you're by a fireplace heating up a little bit, or maybe a heating blanket. I don't know how you warm up at home, but thrilled that you're here with us because we are in week three of our series called Get Your Life Back. And we've been talking about six different practices that we can lean into to restore our souls, which is a really good time right now to be restoring our souls. It's been a little crazy in our world, even heading into the new year, 2021. I want to kick off with just a thought. Has anyone missed movies? Miss going to movies, going to the movie theater, right? I feel like I'm a movie guy. I'm a movie buff. I have opportunities to teach on a regular basis here at Northern Hills, and I feel like I'm trying to use movies at times to, you know, bring home a point or to draw an illustration out. And I was good for at least a movie a week, maybe once every 2 weeks when it was on the regular. Now, I know we're getting back to movies a little bit, and so that's always a good thing. I'm really excited about that. My movie watching, though, has currently been restricted, I guess we'll say restricted, to the HBO Maxes of the world, to the Hulus, the Primes, the Netflix, right? I'm watching all of it, and just standard cable. And what I came across the past couple weeks was a little disturbing to me. I like prison movies. I don't know what it is. There's something about prison movies that I really enjoy. It's something about how an individual that's incarcerated has to figure out how to live the prison life and to get through what that new life is for them for potentially the rest of their lives. Maybe some movies that you're trying to break out of prison. I don't know what it is and why it is, but there's just something I've been drawn to recently in watching all of these prison movies. Maybe the Lord's preparing a place for me. I don't know if that's a good thing, what's going on, but Shawshank Redemption, anyone? Anyone at home, you know, you gotta be rooting at home if you're a Shawshank Redemption lover. If you don't love Shawshank Redemption, I would question whether you love Jesus or not, because it's literally in the top five of all-time movies, all right? How about The Green Mile? Tom Hanks? A really good prison movie, right? I think an underrated one is Brokedown Palace. It's with Kate Beckinsale and Claire Danes. Really an underrated one. There's Unbroken. So many good movies. I like the movies that are focused on Alcatraz. And some of you are familiar with that prison in California. There's been a couple movies, The Rock with Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, if you like to shoot 'em up a little bit. And there was also an oldie but goodie called The Escape from Alcatraz, and that was Clint Eastwood. But there's something specifically about that prison that, I don't know, there's just something I'm drawn to, right? Hopefully, if you have had an opportunity to be in San Francisco, California, you've been able to take the tour. I've only been once to San Francisco, did not take the Alcatraz tour, but was really regretting that I didn't. If you did take that tour, hopefully you weren't incarcerated at Alcatraz, so you did take the tour. But if you did take the tour, chances are you remember having the headphones. Again, I've watched some documentaries, I've watched some other little shows that are talking about Alcatraz and the guided tour. They put on some headphones on you, and you're able to walk around the prison and basically get stories of certain prisoners that were at Alcatraz, certain stories of what happened there in that specific prison. And through 1962, it was a prison, and now it's basically become a national park. And what I understand about this guided tour is that everybody that can walk around the facility, they're also able to, at some point, be able to look across the ocean and see the city of San Francisco. It's basically a bird's eye view of what prisoners could have seen. And so there's a pic here, and we got this picture here that's just showing, again, a view of the island Alcatraz. If you're not familiar, it's on an island. And you're able to view San Francisco. So from this prison island, you can see San Francisco that sits about 1 1/4 miles across the ocean. Now, even though I have yet to take that tour, I have read that in the guided tour, as they're telling the stories on the headphones, they will tell guests that what made this prison so unique and what made this prison so agonizing for the prisoners that were incarcerated at Alcatraz is that in just a little over a mile, They could see everything, everything that they wanted in life, but the thing that they couldn't get to. They could see everything that they wanted in life, but they couldn't get to it. And that's what made it so agonizing for the prisoners. Now, we're calling this teaching series, as I've already highlighted, Get Your Life Back. And we believe that God wants to use this series in a really powerful way in the lives of people at Northern Hills. There's many of us that in our mind's eye, we could see what our lives are, the life that we would want to have and what it looks like, but we can't seem to quite reach it, can we? We could see our lives, but there's not maybe the life that we're looking towards or the life that we want. It just feels so far away. It feels like we couldn't swim to it if we even tried to do that. If we could just be free of that addiction, free of that habit, if we could just be free of that depression or that panic, we have that ability to see and what we want to become, but again, we just can't simply get to it. And that's why we're doing this series, because we believe in the restorations of our souls. We need some practices. And there's practices that a lot of times we don't talk about, but we also need simple. We need 50 new things to add to our list. We need simple, and I believe we also need specific. And so we trust that God's going to use these practices that will help us restore our souls. We talked about letting go on week one and week two, as Pastor John taught last week. He taught about being kind to ourselves. Again, things that we don't necessarily dive into all the time at church. I encourage you to go back if you haven't viewed those first couple weeks. This week and today, I want to talk about the practice of transition. Now, today's message is for someone that's in transition. And I believe that we're all in transition in our life, but chances are that most of us don't see maybe the small transitions as transition. We think of the large transitions in our lives as the true transitions we're experiencing. But God's in all of it. And what's interesting to understand about transitions, there's two things where transition puts us. Transitions provide us meaningful opportunity. Meaningful opportunity, but you have to add the and in there. They can expose us also to our insecurity. Transitions provide us meaningful opportunity and can expose us with insecurity. And those are two very important things to write down this morning, to be considering as we walk through today's message on transitions. I want us to check out the Bible for some truth as we mull over that statement this morning. I want to share with you from Acts chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, please let us know online. Post something. Get in touch with us. We want to get a Bible into your hands. Maybe try to find one on an app. But this is a story that we're diving into today about a lame beggar who was miraculously healed. Let's go into verses 1 and 2 in chapter 3 of Acts. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to take alms of those entering the temple." I believe this text is going to be perfect for us this morning as we're looking to get our lives back, because everything is transitional. That's truly my hope this morning. I'm trying to convince everybody out there that everything is transitional. Here's how my day went a couple weeks back, but it was helpful for me to draw upon that specific day for this teaching. I remember driving Camden to school that morning, Tuesday. And it was a Tuesday morning where we had a really tender conversation, just me and my 10-year-old son. And it was a great moment, and I felt like, okay, he's off to school, and this is just going to be that fantastic day. And sure enough, after that, after dropping him off at school, I took a phone call on my way into church. And that was from an insurance company that I've been battling with back and forth recently. And so my tender conversation quickly turned to anger and frustration on that phone call. I would then step into church and walk into a series of meetings. A series of meetings that I also multitask in, and anybody would tell you here on staff that I can tend to do that, where I'm on my phone, checking some email, doing some email, maybe sending a text or two while I'm in the context of the meeting. Gets a little crazy, right? And so it transitioned on from that to then have a conversation with my wife. At some point, middle of the day, maybe around lunch, we were talking about what we were going to do for dinner. But we were also talking and arguing a little bit about the birthday parties that have been invading us throughout this entire month. It seems like every weekend's been committed to something. And so we're having that conversation and then the dinner conversation. And then I would go and actually interview, or what was sort of an interview, of a potential youth pastor here for the church. That was an interesting conversation in of itself, and transitioned then into the afternoon for more meetings that would eventually make me a little late in my day, got home for dinner a little late, and then just was worn out, wiped out, and done, right? And I've just described some of your mornings. That's how it is for us. We are in this perpetual state of go. We're in this perpetual state of transition in our lives. But that was just a day a couple weeks ago. And I think it's interesting to me when we look at those days, and then we wonder why we have a hard time becoming the people that we want to become. We wonder why we have a hard time finding God and feeling like he is overflowing in and through us. Our lives fly by so fast. By the time we recognize transition, we don't even have time to make the necessary adjustments. I think by the time we become good parents, many of us, we're 53 years old and we're empty nesters. By the time we know that we should have saved that amount of money, that we should have been smarter with that amount of money, it's too late. Some of the bills are due and we feel a little bit behind. By the time we have that inkling of wisdom that we just want to pour out into a friend or someone in our sphere of influence, we don't have the strength to implement it because we're just really tired. Maybe we're tired of our dumb mistakes. Maybe we're tired of our situations and circumstances. Everything, though, is transitional. I want us to go into that scripture one more time. Acts 3:1. Check this out. Now, keeping in mind, pause, that's a transitional word. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple. So they were on their way somewhere, transition, at the hour of prayer, which is a transitional time. Now, Peter and John, they're going about their day. And now it's time to pray. You got ding, 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 everyone to the temple. Peter and John are off to that temple. And that's a small transition because they're going from one place to another. But they're also taking a larger transition because they are transitioning in their ministry. It would have been considered a much larger transition if you think of the small and the large transitions we experience in life. Because up to this point, they've always had Jesus. They've always had Jesus in human form to supervise miracles, to be there and be present for their attempts and their efforts. And sometimes they didn't get it right. And he was there to correct them. But he's not there. He's not there in human form anymore. And so they're going to church at 3:00 p.m. And that's what the ninth hour means, 3:00 p.m. It's a period of time where all the good Jewish men, all the good Jewish women would make their way to the synagogue for prayers. And so Peter and John are moving towards this temple. They're in transition when verse 2 happens. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to take alms of those entering in to the temple. Peter and John, they're in transition. They're on their way to the temple. That's their daily routine. And they come across a man. And the man who the Bible says is carried. Now, it's so interesting about this specific story because I think of a lot of other different stories that are represented of people that need healing in the Bible. And so I had always pictured this man as already laying beside the gate. But he wasn't at the gate yet. He wasn't even at the spot yet. If you were lame or you were in need, the best place you could go to gather alms, which is basically some money or something from someone that would help you if you were poor, to sort out how you could be helped in the next stage or the next day, you would pick a spot where people were going to church. Because it wouldn't be very fruitful for you to get alms as people were exiting church. They may have already given their offering. They may have already covered those bases. So you would stop and you would place yourself at a place prior to them getting into church. Maybe they could give you some change. And this man wouldn't have been the only one there. This was a common place to set up for anybody that was in need. But check this out. He wasn't even in his spot yet. He wasn't even in his spot yet when God decided to give him a miracle. And I hope, I hope that's some encouragement for us this morning. As we're looking to get our lives back, some of us think that we need to do something significant for God to meet us. And I want us to notice that in transition, God was already on the scene. Before church even started, before church was even kicking off in the temple, God's at work. And it means that God doesn't need for you to be in a place in your life to be at a certain point in order for him to bless you. That's not how our God works. Our God is a giver of good gifts. So everybody who's in transition now, I don't know what you're in transition with. Maybe you're switching jobs. Maybe you're switching boyfriends or girlfriends. Maybe you're switching schools. Maybe you're switching the way you want to live your life. You're making some new decisions for your life. I don't know what transition you are in life. I just trust that you are. But I love the fact that God was waiting to bless this man before he even got to his spot. He's blessing through the transition. And here's how I think we can think of this. Big or small transitions in our life. God's going to bring you blessing as you're going. God is going to bring you blessing as you are going. He's going to bless you on the way. We don't have to do something substantial or significant. God's going to meet each one of us. He's going to maybe even cut us off before we get to our spot. And he's going to bless us anyway. And so this man, he's lame and he's about to go into the gate. And what's a gate? What's a gate? Well, for the purposes of this week, a gate is a symbol of transition. What gates aren't you walking through right now? What gates have been placed before you that you just don't find the courage to maybe be walking through? I get it, because we're forcing our souls through multiple gear changes each day, each hour, maybe even each year. And again, as I stated earlier, we're all focused on that one state of being, that constant state of being that says, go, go, go. That's the one speed we live in. And our souls were never meant to live in that kind of speed of the constant state of go. Perhaps God is looking to meet us before the gate. Maybe he's asking us to wait at the gate. Maybe he's going to meet us through the gate. Regardless, he's waiting to meet us. God is active in the entire journey of our lives. And so our appreciation for those small transitions, maybe it would do us well to help those grow. The simple gates that he's placing before us, it would do us well to remember. Here's another way to think about this. Some of the greatest stuff that God's going to do in your day will not be on your calendar. Some of the greatest things that God does as it relates to your life, it's not going to be in your 5-year plan. Some of the greatest areas of growth in your character, what God is looking to develop, isn't going to be on your dream board. That's not how our God works. See, Peter and John, they're just trying to get to church. And this man, he's just simply trying to get some help, maybe get something to eat. And they found each other in a simple transition. God arranged the meeting. Acts 3:3-4. Seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. See, the man sees Peter and John, and he asked to receive the alms. And this man was hoping for change, but God's plan was much bigger. Oh, I'm not going to give you change. I'm going to change your life. This man wanted to know, hey, do you have a few quarters or a few dimes maybe? No, one thing I've been learning about my relationship with Jesus, especially in the season that I'm walking through, is that sometimes God doesn't want to meet my expectations. He wants to exceed them. And he wants to do that in your life as well. And so don't be too disappointed if God doesn't immediately give you what you want when you want it, because sometimes God doesn't want to meet your expectations. He wants to exceed them. This man, in this moment, he was looking to receive change, and he didn't even have the mind, he didn't have the faith to ask for the real change that God was ready to bring. This guy was getting set to gather some spare change. Peter's like, no. We're going to talk about a different kind of change. And so we enter into a transitional moment, Acts 3:6-7. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And I wonder what the man might have been thinking. As Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I wonder if he thought, is this one of those Jesus followers that, you know, gives you an evangelism track, but then doesn't, you know, leave you any change? Is this someone that's just going to give me a few words, but really not help the need that I have? And Peter's saying, hey, get past what you expected. Let's get past this temporary help that you desire. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have is I have a name. I have a name to give to you. And it's not my name, because in my name, you're going to get nothing. In my ability, there's limited strength. There's limited power and there's limited resource. But I'm operating under a strength, power, and resource that is the name above all names. I'm not operating in my own authority. I'm operating in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ's name represents authority. It represents power. And what happens, a transition of power. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand. By the right hand, it's important to know why the right hand. Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why the right hand? Because the right hand has authority and has power. All power and authority has been given to Jesus. Now, I want to put on a psychology hat for a little bit. I studied psych in college for many years and then got into the ministry gig. And I'll do a complete disservice to the psych hat probably. But I think we need to have a clear distinction between change and transition, because the two are not the same. Change and transition are not the same. And we're going to see that in a second in this man's life. Just because the man had received a miracle didn't mean that he immediately fixed his whole view of life or his mindset. Here's where I want to lean in a bit, because I trust that many of us are frustrated in our inability to change. We're frustrated. We're at our wits' end. Some of us have looked to make changes in our life, and maybe some very specific changes, for a long time, and they just don't seem to stick. And some of those changes in our lives, as soon as they've been introduced, we get some good traction with them, but not enough traction with them to make them lasting changes. Now, it's often been said that change is the only constant in life, and I agree with that, but I believe that change can be traumatic. And of course, undesirable change is traumatic, but I think even desirable change can also be traumatic. Even when change is positive, it can sometimes rock our world. There are desirable changes, there's undesirable changes. But think of this man for a moment. He never knew he was about to get healed. Now, in theory, the healing that was bestowed on this man should have been a very desirable change and been amazing for him to experience that. But healing would create a whole new set of problems for this man, if you really think about it. Man says, okay, I want some change. Peter's like, cool, your entire life's about to change. Boom, what happens? He takes him by the right hand. He raises him up. Immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. And the key word is immediately. The key word's immediately, because there's no duration. There's no progression. This happened immediately. The man's feet were made strong. Verse 8, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. See, this is an incredible story. But before we just get to the celebration, it's important to pay attention to the words here, because it says that he began to walk. What did the man know how to do? All the man knew how to do was beg. That was his life. It's wonderful now that he was able to walk, but where was he going to go? Because he had always come to this spot. He was carried to this spot. All he wanted was just a little money, perhaps a little food, and now he's standing there leaping and happy and changed. But see how even desirable change, it can be traumatic. It can throw us for a loop. It can be the whole new journey that we're about to take, and that represents the journey, the progress, the long duration, that's transition. Here's the psych hat. If you want to understand the distinction between change and transition, and that they're two different things, just understand this. Change, it's external. It's something that happens to you. The man didn't do any physical therapy or to learn how to walk. It was this unexpected change that landed in his lap. And it was good change. But we know unexpected change, good or bad, can throw us off. Change is external. Change is traffic. Change is, it can be the weather. Change can be a global pandemic. Change can be something that's happening to your body that never has happened before. Change happens externally. It's a situation that's imposed by outside circumstances and unforeseen conditions, and that's change. But follow me here. Transition, it's always internal. Transition's internal. It's this internal, psychological, emotional, experiential thing. Do you see that contrast? Because pay attention to the words. He jumped up immediately. That's change. He began to walk. That's transition. Because he's beginning a new journey. And he's going to learn new things. Some of us wonder why we're stuck on Alcatraz. We can see everything we want in life, but we just can't seem to get it. And we deeply desire to get our lives back, but we never become the people that we quite want to become. And I believe it's because many of us are just frustrated by the change, the external that's happening to us, because we keep our eyes focused on that, and then we're unwilling to endure the process of transition. We're unwilling to go there to do the hard work and the deep work of transition. Change is external, and transition's transformational. That's what you need to write down this morning. Transition is where transformation happens. Transition is where the transformation happens. It's something that happens within you, something God's doing within you, not something external that's done to you. And I'll prove it. One of the wise nuggets that King David gives us, what is it? Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What does this mean? David isn't praying about his situation. He's not praying about his circumstances. He's praying about his spirit. He's praying about the internal, because he understood that if God chooses to bring change into each of our lives, good or bad, if there's a spiritual process, if there's an internal that we haven't done work in, then we are left underdeveloped, and that change will be chaos for us. It'll be something that maybe causes disaster in our lives. Change happened for the lame man. And it wasn't illegitimate change. He jumped up and he walked, and his feet and ankles can do it. But just because your feet may be strong, and just because your legs may work, and just because you have this strength to stand, it doesn't mean you understand how to walk. Because transition is process. Change happens suddenly, and the transition takes time. And I feel like I'm experiencing this right now. Because I had a court hearing for my mom, and this was last week. Many of you know I've been navigating guardianship and conservatorship over my mom right now with some drug abuse and a real difficult time that she's walking through. And I was at this court hearing, and it was to grant emergency guardianship and conservatorship for a period of time so I can help her along, because she can't help herself. Judge asked me, why do you think you're qualified? Why do you think you're qualified, Brandon, to be that person, an individual in her life right now? I just was honest with the judge. And I said, I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm qualified. Because right now, I'm dealing with a gambit of emotions. I'm dealing with the past and some undealt with pain and suffering that has really torn that relationship apart. I'm scared. I don't really have a lot of clue of this world that I'm stepping into. I don't have some fear of the unknowns. Why do I consider myself qualified? I don't. But I'm following someone who is qualified. I've put my trust and faith in the one that is guiding me to this place, has guided me to this place, has guided me to this spot. He's asked me to walk through a gate. He's asked me to trust him even more and put my faith and trust in him even more. And even this thing that's happened with my mom, this change that's come into my life that's happened suddenly, God's in all of his goodness is continuing to remind me that this transition that I'm going through, that I'm learning within, it's going to take time. It's going to be a process. There's going to be some duration to it. I'm beginning to walk. I'm learning how to walk. And many of us, we have our spot. We have our spot, like the lame man. We have our system and we have our support. And when change happens, something external that happens to us, we can either lean into transition or not. But as we lean into transition, we can't do what we did anymore. That's what I'm learning. Having a whole new framing of how to do life. This lame man, he had his cup, and people would come by and they would drop change into the cup, but he had to drop the cup to take the right hand. He had to change, he had to lean into that transition. He had what had allowed him to stand up and begin to walk. Man, he had to have a reframing of his entire life. And here's the part of the story. Here's the part of the story that I love. And that is God's gift to each of us. After the man stands up, everybody's shocked. Everybody's shocked to see the man because they were used to ignoring this man. They were used to having him be kept on the outside of the gates. But verse 9 through 10, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and excitement at what had happened to him. And so he's walking, and he goes past the gate and he goes into Solomon's portico. This was a big, long porch. It would have been on the whole side of the temple. This one long porch that he's walking along. And here it is. This is what moved me. And I hope it moves you as well. Verse 11, while he clung to Peter and John. All the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. While he clung to Peter and John. And that's gripping because I realize that it matters. It matters in moments of transition what we cling to. And I trust that the Holy Spirit is saying something to you today, something to someone today. And he's saying that you're going to have to choose what you cling to. And you're going to have to choose what you cling to because I'm introducing something new and possibly uncomfortable for you to move forward in this transitional season of your life. And the paradigm of your mind's going to need to shift in order to embrace that something new. See, just because the man can now walk, it didn't mean he didn't still need to cling to someone to learn how to walk. When we first meet this man in the text, he's being carried. And when we say goodbye to this man in the text, he's clinging. So what are you clinging to? Who? Better question, who? Who are you clinging to? This world's too tough to do it alone. And Jesus Christ came, so you didn't have to. Jesus Christ came to save you and to save me. And the beautiful message of the gospel, the beautiful message of Jesus coming here to earth, perfectly God and perfectly man, and then dying a brutal death on behalf of all mankind, and then raising again 3 days later, proving he was God. The beauty of that gospel story is that God is ready to meet you in your transition to relationship with him. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day. What are you waiting for? Because my guess is you've been clinging to a lot of things, and I would just ask you, how are those things working out? How are those things shaping up in your life to prove power and peace and any number of things that you want in your life for a purposeful, meaningful life? Doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. Any follower of Jesus will tell you, sometimes it doesn't get easier, but it's always better. Because God's a God of not having to do something unto him, because it's done. It's already taken care of for what he's accomplished on that cross and what he's accomplished, proving he is God, raising from the dead. And today he wants to start a relationship with you. So just ask him. Say, God, come into my life. Come into my life and rescue me. I cling to you. I cling to the power of what you have done for me. I cling to the hope that's found in you. I cling to how you will redeem my life. and make it mean something moving forward. Romans 10, if you believe in your with your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And if you prayed that prayer, if you just claim that out loud wherever you're sitting today, Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And we're celebrating with you. We're celebrating with you here at Northern Hills because your life is forever changed. Your life is forever changed. See, we've been practicing this 1 minute pause. And it's to lean into some new practices again throughout the series. We're focusing on a new practice each week. Today, we've looked at transitions. Everything is transitional. We're all in a state of transition. But the heart behind the 1 minute pause is just that it's simple. It needs to be simple because all of us can take 1 minute. All of us can take 1 minute in our days to have a conversation with God. But we also wanted it to be very specific. And so as we think about transitions, as we think about the big or the small transitions that we are having in each of our lives, I would ask you to begin to think about the internal work that God's doing in you. To be very specific, to ask God, hey, God, even if I can't see this, would you reveal this to me? Because he's going to do that for you. And as you take this simple 1 minute pause, be very specific and name it. Name the work that he's doing in you. Because when we give names to things, when we give a name to something that he's doing, the inner workings within us, when we name that transition, we recognize that he's transforming us. We recognize his goodness to us. We recognize that he gives abundantly to us, that he's a good God and that he's not absent. But name it. Name the work that Christ is doing in your life. And that's what we're going to practice here this morning. Wherever you're sitting, wherever you're viewing this, whenever you're viewing this, let's take some time to do a 1 minute pause and to name the work that God is doing in your life to transform you. Simple and specific. Take some time this next week, 1 minute pause. Each day, just be very specific. God, I trust you are using transition in my life, and I'm going to name the work that you are doing in my life. See, our souls need transition time, especially in this world. And we'll find God in all of those transitions. All we need to do is make ourselves available. All we need to do is trust him. And so as we sing this next song, let's just be unified. Let's be unified in a declaration that we are making that God, you can have it all. God, here I am. Have everything that I am. Here I am. You can have it all. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. Father God, I thank you for the places, Father God, where everybody's viewing this online service, God, and it may not even be on a Sunday morning, it may be on a Wednesday evening or a Friday night. Father God, I pray that you would meet each individual in this moment, and God, that we would just call out to you and acknowledge, God, our need for you in our lives, in the small and in the large transitions of our lives, Lord. Help us to see beyond the change that's external and the things that are happening unto us, and help us to look at the things that you're doing within us. Help us to call on you. God, Lord, that's our declaration this morning is here I am. You can have it all. You can have everything. And God, may that be our cry throughout this entire week before we come together again. And Father, we pray these great things in your great name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.